Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm reading the first four verses, and I'll be reading from the Living Bible. So there is now no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Christ Jesus, has freed me from the vicious circle of sin and death. We aren't saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God, because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent His own Son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful, and destroyed sin's control over us by giving Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So now we can obey God's laws if we follow after the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the evil nature within us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it impacted the entire human race. Here we are in the 21st century, and man has been plunged into degradation. Spiritually and morally, we are bankrupt. I believe that the most powerful weapon that Satan has in his arsenal is a guilty conscience. Numbers 32:23 declares, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Years ago, a beautiful young woman who lived in a small town in, well, just outside of Douglas, Georgia, where my wife is from, went missing. They didn't know what happened. In fact, her story has been told over some of these dramatized versions of events that you see, like Unsolved Mysteries. And for years, nobody ever knew what happened to her. She and our niece, who lives in Douglas, Georgia, were contestants in the Miss Georgia pageant years ago. So we have some knowledge of this young lady indirectly through her. And it was the talk of South Georgia for years. And nobody could ever find out what happened. Well, a few weeks ago, and I heard it on the news, a few weeks ago there was a young man that confessed to the police. He and a friend of his were seniors in the high school where this young woman taught. And they abducted her, raped her, and horribly and brutally killed her and burned her body up. For years there wasn't a trace. And finally, one young man broke down and confessed his crime. Now, why did he do it? When they ask him, why now after all these years? He says, every day and every night, my conscience torments me. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursues. Now what that means is a guilty conscience can make you paranoid. A guilty conscience can devastate you in your emotions and ruin your life and make you miserable. Somebody say amen. But when the Bible talks about a guilty conscience, it just simply says that it doesn't apply to the born-again child of God. See, through the blood of Jesus, through what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, we can be totally free from a guilty conscience. Describing the death of Jesus in Hebrews 9:14, the writer said, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Everybody say conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to ask you three questions this morning. And I believe that in these three questions, you're going to find the answer to a lot of life's perplexing questions about guilt. The first of these questions is this: when does God clear your conscience of guilt? Well, it's right there in the scripture. It says, there is therefore now. Everybody say now. Now. It's always now. And God lives in the eternal now. That's why Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is. God lives in the eternal now. And the very moment, oh, I'm about to get excited this morning. The very moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God clears your record. The very moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and sit on the throne of your heart and be the Lord of your life, you are free from a guilty conscience. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, shout a big amen. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 is a very familiar passage to all of us. It says in verse 9 that if we'll confess our sins, that he's faithful to forgive us and to save us. And then in verse 13, it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Now, when you are a born again child of God, God removes from you a guilty conscience. Aren't you glad about that? That would be a great praise for you just to give God praise. Amen. Now, not only at that moment is the guilt gone, but the guilt is gone forever. Somebody say forever. I don't know why people want to keep dredging the past up and talk about, well, this is what I used to do, and this is what happened to me, and this is why I'm in the mess I'm in. And it seems like today Christians want to delve deep into their past and even talk about regressing to the womb. Now, I don't know what you did wrong in your womb, but shame on you, whatever it was. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Well, if I can regress into the womb, I'll find out why I'm so jacked up. I'll tell you what I've learned watching this little grandbaby, and I had to figure a way to get her in the sermon here somehow. But I'm thinking, what does an eight-week-old baby have to laugh about? I believe that when God formed her in her mother's womb, that she spent 9 months in the dark with God. And I believe that if you and I could go back maybe and remember the things that we knew when we were born, it might make us smile too. Because there are times when I'm doing my best to get her attention. And I'm right in her face. You know what she's doing? She's got those pretty blue eyes. And she's looking off to the side at something. And every now and then her lips will just curl up in a smile. And then she'll look over there on that side. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, I'm competing with angels. I'm trying to get her attention, making funny faces, and there's an angel over there somewhere saying, I love you, God loves you, you're special. And she's thinking, that's cool, and she's looking over there, and Pawpaw's trying to make her laugh. You know, I believe with all my heart that God created you for a reason, and that reason was not to be miserable, and it wasn't to go to hell, amen. God chose you because he wanted you, and he wants you to know that you can walk with him in unbroken fellowship and enjoy his presence. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, see, in Micah chapter 7, verse 19, God says, I will have compassion upon you and subdue your iniquities, and I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. In another place, he said that he would put our sins between his shoulder blades. Have you ever tried to look at anything between your shoulder blades? You just can't do it. And then he said, I'll remove your sins from you as far as darkness is from light and as far as the east is from the west. You know, when I was a boy, I tried to figure that one out. And I thought, why didn't he say north from south? He said east from west, because you can go east and you're always going west, or east, you're never going west. And the thing is that he said, I'm going to place your sins, number one, where I can't see them, and number two, where you'll never run into them again. Somebody say, praise God. So it feels good to be forgiven. No wonder David said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whose transgressions are covered. That means peaceful or happy. How many of you are happy today because you know you're saved? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when does it happen? Now. How does it happen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Now, I need some help to preach this. I might as well get some of these preachers over here. Come up here, Rich, and Pastor Shannon, and Pastor Eric, come up here. And yesterday, by the way, how many of you got to go to our Primetimers sing? Wasn't it fun? That was great. That was great. And I had to pay $100 to get Pastor Eric and Pastor Juan to sing with me. But did I pay up, Johnny? I paid up, and it was worth it too. And he didn't do a bad job. No, listen, I don't want everybody to leave. Come up here. You are going to be spirit, all right? You're the spirit, and you're going to be soul. Stand up here, soul, and you're going to be the body. You stand right down here. Get up on that stair there. You're the body, okay? All right, spirit, soul, and body. When God made us, that's how he made us. Spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So you have the presence of the Lord in you. In fact, in John the 4th chapter, Jesus said God is spirit. King James puts the article A, but he said literally God is spirit. So when God made us, he made us preeminently and predominantly spirit. Okay? And then you have a soul. You possess a soul. Your soul is the seat of your emotions and your intellect. And by the way, this guy is neutral, okay? And down here, you've got body or the flesh. And there's a lot of flesh in that suit right there, okay? Now watch here. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They became freaks. And something happened. All right, body, come up here. You're going to take the place. Now you stay there. So spirit, you come down here and take the place of the body. All right, now watch this. This is what happened. This is the unregenerate man today. This is why people think that you're weird. Somebody said, I got saved, and all my friends said I was weird. I'm not weird. I'm the same me. You are not the same you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what you used to be. This is the unregenerate man, and now God wants to restore you to what his original plan for your life. So now what God did in the new birth is he changed you. Adam and Eve hid from God because they had become monsters in this garden that God had created for them, and they went and hid themselves. And by the way, you know what the answer was when God asked Adam, what's going on here? He says, that woman. Come on now. Nothing's ever changed, has it? We're still blaming that woman. He said, it's that woman. God said, no, I'm not buying that. You sinned with your eyes wide open. You had a direct revelation, and you were told not to touch that tree because it represented my sovereignty. Somebody said it was an apple tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was. The point was that it just represented the sovereignty of God. You might call it the tithe tree. Oh, let me go run and hide right now. But anyway, don't touch that. That belongs to me. Now watch this. God went and found them, and he said, I'm going to restore you, but not now. You're going to suffer a while. But there's coming a day when the seed of the woman, that's a biological impossibility. What's he talking about? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you sight. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. See, he didn't have Adam's inherent sin like we do. He started out with a clean slate. Now, he was tempted in all points, just like we are, and without sin, but he did not start out with Adam's sin. So he was the seed of the woman. And he said, when the seed of the woman gets here, he will crush the head of your tempter. Glory to God. Now watch this. Today, because of the new birth, I am not body, soul, and spirit. No, sir, I've been changed. Somebody say, I've been changed. Now, see, that's why people like this, you ever seen a liquor store go out of business? You won't, because this is the makeup of the average person that you'll meet out here. Body, soul, and spirit. Like I said, this guy's neutral. This is the seat of emotions, and this is your intellect, and it'll follow whoever's in the driver's seat. So the reason a lot of people today, I won't go to church, and then they talk about going, well, I guess the roof will fall in, like you're some kind of big shot VIP center. You think that because guess who's driving the car? The flesh. The flesh. It's all about the flesh. It's all about you, see? And so what happens in the new birth, when you become a new creation, it's not that you just started going to church and you preached or shook the preacher's hand and you signed up to be a church member and now you're going to try to turn over a new leaf. That's not it at all. It's a new life in Christ. So when supernaturally, when you were born again, this is what happened. Get back up here, spirit, where you belong. Spirit, soul, and body. That's who you are, and that's God's plan for you, and that's what happens in the new birth. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Good job. Give me five. Give me five. Give me five. There you go. Great job. Give him a hand. Now watch this. This is what's important. How did that happen? If you go on down to verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am the righteousness of God. That's hard to say, isn't it? But God said it. He said, through Christ, through the blood of Christ, you're no longer under condemnation. You're no longer under this burden of a guilty conscience, but you are the very righteousness of God. And God declared you righteous through what he did. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, a new heart. Now watch this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do you know why I'm here today? Because I wanted to be here. Do you know why I didn't run around with a wild woman this week? Of course, I've been trying to catch that woman at the house for 46 years, so I don't need to run after another one. But you know why I didn't? Didn't want to. You know why I didn't smoke a cigar this week? Didn't want to. You know why I didn't get drunk this week? Didn't want to. You know why I came here today? Wanting to. You know why I want to go to prayer meeting? Because I'm changed. You know why I want to go to Wednesday night? Because I'm changed. That's who I am. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if you find yourself habitually and continually living a lifestyle of sin, you have not been born again. But once you have passed from death unto life, you're like your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm preaching better than you letting on this morning. So you can be free from your guilt, but you can't do it on your own. It takes God to do it. God wants to do that in your life and make a new creature out of you. Now, what happens when the guilt is gone? It's because you are in Christ. Everybody say those two words, in Christ. 250 times in the New Testament, you have that expression, in Christ or in him. In Christ. I died with him so that I could live with him. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now watch. A living sacrifice. What happens to a sacrifice? It's dead. It dies. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can keep from being conformed or squeezed into the mold of this world is to become transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, if you then risen from Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 about verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, that means lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, everybody say new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I am not what I am going to be. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but I am not what I used to be. I am a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Woo! Slap a high five with somebody, say, I'm a child of God. What is my part in living a guilt-free life? Turn with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Watch this now. Here we go. Verse 19. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results. Now, before I tell you what they are, and these are the works of the flesh, let me explain something to you. Even though I'm a new creation, even though I've been born again, even though I've passed from death unto life, even though I am a child of God and my name is written in heaven, because I am tabernacled in flesh, I am still subject to temptation. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. If you're not being tempted, you're not alive. Hello? You can still be tempted. There's a lot of stuff. And somebody said, well, I don't guess it's about that. Well, what about money? Huh? What about control? Some people, it's all about control. They want to manipulate other people. There are a lot of sins that don't have anything to do with sleeping around. Come on now. So you're going to be tempted. You're going to find that every day of your life, as long as you are tabernacled in this flesh, you'll be tempted. That's not the good news. Here's the good news. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.